A Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Something we talked about a year ago with these guys, Circles Life. They are a relatively new player to the telco market. They launched in May 2016, so, well, almost 3 years this year, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are among a handful of what they call mobile virtual network operators in Singapore, and they lease their network from M1.
Yeah, so since their launch just over 2.5 years ago, they claim to have gathered over 5% of Singapore's mobile subscriber market, now making it the fastest growing telco. Now, we're going to be asking serious questions on numbers and drilling down in terms of your ARPU. But the last time we had our next guest in the studio was actually March last year.
Yeah.
So we talked about the costing of Circles Life, the expansion plans, Singapore's data usage, and how they remain competitive in a saturated market.
Well, now they have secured funding to expand into more than 5 countries in the next 18 months. We're talking about Taiwan, Australia, already confirmed among that list. They've launched a $20 unlimited data add-on, and they've also partnered HL Assurance to launch the Circles Phone Protect device insurance plan. So it sounds like we've got a lot to discuss. A lot has happened since we chatted the last time. We welcome back to the studio Ramiz Ansar, founder and CEO of Circles Life. Good morning, Ramiz.
Morning, everyone, and it's good to be back.
Today is single task day, which means you do one task at a time. Are you a single task person, like a typical guy, or can you multitask?
I'd like to single task, but I can't get to single task.
Hey, it's like a no choice. You have exactly. To multitask. It's not right. You know, there should be a law against this.
Have to choose, you know.
Okay, so let's start with the big one. You claim to have 5% of Singapore's mobile subscriber market share. You haven't quite been open about the number of Circles.life subscribers, and here's a chance for you to explain why.
I think it goes back to the impact we're creating in the market, right? So if you think about the way to assess where we are is just look around you, right? 2.5 years ago, what kind of brand reputation did we have? We start from zero. Now we're the top five brands in Singapore, right? And when we start to talk about what kind of consumer in terms of subscriber numbers, the easy way to look at it is the impact that both M1 and us have created.
Okay.
Because our subscribers get counted into what M1 has. So look at the growth that M1 has in our subscriber base, and you'll be able to actually see the impact that we've been able to create.
And so how much is that?
Another way to look at it is about 2.5 years ago before we launched, I think the difference between the postpaid operator subscriber base between M1 and StarHub was about 200,000 or more than that, something like that. Now, in that space of time, just imagine that number has dropped to 15 or less than 15,000.
Okay.
But right? That's not only you. That's also M1's existing network. M1 has not been sitting down doing nothing and depending on you to grow.
Yeah, but it's a combination again. So if you think about it, think about what's happening in the other operators.
Yeah.
You can't see growth in any other operators, actually. The only growth you're getting is actually from us, right? And if you put that in, this is a combination of what's coming from the other operators as well as what we're adding.
But aren't you buying market share? Because if you look at your plans, for example, you've got a plan that's a zero price entry plan. Whereas even the cheapest MyRepublic plan is $8. The cheapest Zero mobile plan is something like $39. So doesn't this impact your revenues as well in terms of ARPUs?
So for us, still the most successful plan is still the $28 plan by far, And I think there's only a specific, you know, why did we launch going back to the Flexi? We call it the Flexi plan. That actually generates a lot of revenue for us. Because a Flexi plan is a way to get into the market where you're not comfortable with the online buying yet. So you just buy, you try it out. It's for your kids. It's for your mom and your dad.
Okay.
And then it allows you to top up and, you know, buy data on the go rather than committing to a $28 per month. So it actually creates revenue. It just allows a lot of flexibility and ease of use because you can just click on it and actually buy.
So Flexi plan is the bulk of where revenue for Circles Life comes from?
No, the base plan. The base plan is the $28 plan.
So that's where the bulk of the revenue comes from?
Yes, that's where the bulk of it comes from. And the subscriber base as well, not just the revenues.
Sure. How would you compare your average revenue per user compared with other telcos?
So we tend to end up getting a pretty big share of the revenue also because, you know, if you look at our user base, it's all data savvy, high data users. So our average base is actually using about 11 to 12 gigabytes of data per month, which is even higher than what we reported last year. And what we're seeing is the more data you give people, the more data they will use. And I guess everyone on this table is guilty of that.
I max out mine, man.
Exactly. And so what's interesting, what we're saying is that if you give people the option to add more data add-ons and to buy on the go, they will actually be higher ARPU than the other telcos, but the price is still competitive. You see, they end up using more data, and therefore the ARPU is higher by them adding more add-ons or buying on the go. We've got this. Last year we were here, I think we launched this $3 per day unlimited. Mm-hmm. Literally, you can switch on unlimited for that day for $3. People don't want to be on unlimited every day, but they like to have that option. Like, today I think I'm going to watch that movie, right? And I just like to not worry about my thing and what does it cost me. I click the thing and it goes. So while our base plan has stayed competitive, our revenue and our ARPU is higher than other telcos because of the use people have on it.
So how much is it?
So you can imagine that it's about at least 10 to 15% over what you would see and expect at a regular telco that is not digital and that's not focused on data-savvy market. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about the funding that you've received from this venture capital player out of India.
So the guys that have provided us with funding is actually Sequoia.
Okay,
so Sequoia. And Sequoia is a global venture capital fund, has invested and funded companies like Google and actually WhatsApp. So what we like about that investment is, and the local arm sits around India, so which is why, you know, all the Southeast Asian Indian companies are actually funded out of that sort of branch. But what we like about their investment is that, you know, they are a blue chip venture capital fund out of Silicon Valley, right? They're not looking at traditional businesses. They're looking at businesses of the future or people taking a fundamentally different approach to a traditional business. Their recent investment was in Stripe, which is a payment gateway that sits between banks and businesses. So what we like is that they are coming into this space recognizing that the approach we've taken is fundamentally different. And there are two things about that approach. First is the extreme customer centricity that we bring to this business. This is not a telco business, this is a consumer business, right? And the second part is you only get that by re-innovating the entire telco stack at the back end of a telco. Okay. Right now, just above the towers, you know, couple hundred million dollars go into buying multiple boxes of different spread vendors that come together, and they just can't provide the same experience you would expect. It's like a taxi company creating the Grab or the Uber of the world. It just doesn't happen.
Okay. So how much does Sequoia invest in you and what are you going to use that expansion money for?
So it's a Series C round. We're not disclosing the exact number, but what we're saying is that, you know, between that round and between the amount that we generate ourselves, we're able to invest, you know, in the next five markets, which we've identified and focusing on and doubling down on.
Okay, so which five markets and what sort of runway does that give you?
So over the next 18 months, that should ensure us that we can launch these five markets in the next 18 months. So it goes into three areas. First is obviously securing these launches. The second one goes into actually building out the leadership bench because it's going to be a decent amount of work to be in five markets at the same time and launching and growing. And the third one is to double down on the number of digital services we're starting to offer. Insurance is just one example, but there are many others. But, you know, we talk about this as just a start of this expansion plan because, look, this is a $1 trillion space. In any country, a competitor is worth $40 to $50 billion in Singapore, but even in other places, at least a few billion dollars. So this is starting money. If we are going to really have a meaningful impact on the consumer market, it's going to take a lot more.
Circles Life, this virtual mobile network that you've seen ads in, you know, perhaps your MRT stations and whatnot. We spoke with the founder and CEO of Circles Life last year, Remy Sansa. He's back in the studio 1 year later. And lots of things have happened. For example, investing more than 25 million in your R&D centers in India. So as a Singaporean, I got to ask you, why you chose India, not Singapore?
So the answer is actually, it's not or. I think we've spent more in Singapore and we plan to spend obviously more in Singapore all along the way. That's where the heart, soul and the mind of the company will always exist. No one can change that, okay?
So, brilliantly handled.
Yeah.
Brilliantly
handled. No, no, it's true.
But what are you getting out of India then?
So I think, let's take a step back, right? I think our next evolution as a company, once we've done a great job of building a brand that represents a customer-centric company and an extreme level of like UI, UX, user experience going to the customer, I think the next step is, okay, as a telco, you actually can create so many things around you, having such a strong relationship with a person, right? It's like, you know, you have a payment relationship with me. I have done KYC on you, so I have your NRIC. I know where you live, not to sound in a creepy way, but there's a bunch of things that I can offer to you on my same digital platform, right? And it has got to do with this level of data personalization I can create.
Okay.
Now, when you look around the world and you say, okay, I'm going to look for the top data science centers and data science resources, right? It just happened to be that we found these two companies that we acquired that are actually based in Bangalore, that we were able to fast track the creation of this data science center, right? So does that mean that that's going to be only in India? No, that means that it's actually where we started. So we're going to build out the team here, but actually some of the team already exists now in Singapore. So our real purpose is to actually go out there, find the best things in the world, and actually keep building that capability in Singapore so that eventually this will still remain the hub of us offering multiple personalized digital services, not just for Singapore, but across.
Okay, let's take a drill down into competition. Telecommunications is a notoriously competitive business. You've got the likes of MyRepublic, the fourth major telco that's launched. We're also going to have TPG that's coming into the market as well. So how are you preparing yourself to meet the competition? And very importantly also, customer retention, because churn is a big part of the telecommunication business.
Yes, and you know, I think we may have touched this here, or because about a year ago, you could see that already a lot of that competition is emerging. And I think if anyone wants to step into this, any consumer space, I bet that actually Grab and Uber had more competition for 1.5 years than, you know, for example, telcos, like they were dealing with daily competition. So we just have a very straightforward approach to competition. I think you have, when you're in a consumer business, you have to embrace it, right? And what kind of companies eventually win out? The kind of companies that will continue to demonstrate that they can be consumer-centric in this thing, dollar for dollar. So don't expect yourself to be the highest price in the market. That's not going to work. But dollar for dollar, you're not going to compete on price. You have to compete on customer experience. Our customer satisfaction ratio still today, you know, last year was 93%. It's 95%. You know what the industry average is? 50 to 60%. Right? You know what a brand NPS is? This is the number of customers that want to refer to family and friends. It's 60, closer to 60. You know what it is for competitors? It's minus something, right?
And but that's also a function because you are a pure digital brand as such. So your users tend to be slightly different, probably a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more tech savvy as well.
Possible, but I would like to imagine that all customers are the same, right? I mean, if you're, yes, there might be 20% of the market that doesn't care about this, but everyone cares about customer sensitivity. I'd like to be served. I don't know who's calling these days. Everyone's chatting, right? So I think the key for us has always been the same. It's two-pronged. First, dollar for dollar, you've got to deliver the most brilliant user experience. And this goes into the insanity of what we do on a daily basis. A million things we need to get right for that customer experience, making it good for the customer, standing for the customer. And the second part is, once you've delivered that fantastic service at dollar for dollar, the same amount, then you've got to think about what other things you can do. So, for example, this insurance we've launched, we're soon going to be launching travel insurance as well.
Yeah.
We have an EasyLink tie-up so that you literally, all you have to do is take rides and you get extra data or points that you can use, right? These kind of innovations are the ones that will actually win up the customer in the long term. That's what we believe.
That is amazing. You take train rides, you win extra data. Wow, he's got me and I'm going to start becoming biased in this conversation. That's no good. We are speaking this morning to the founder and CEO of Circles Life, Remy Zansa. Remy, the last time we spoke, you were launching in Indonesia and Hong Kong. Now, 1 year later, you're planning to launch in Taiwan and Australia. With regard to Taiwan and Australia, what kind of competition are you looking at? And perhaps even if you could highlight a bit the expectation in terms of returns.
Yeah, so when we look at international, we look at three things why we choose a market and we double down and sort of commit and go long term. Is the first one is always starts with the customer. Like, is there like a bunch of the demographics that we have seen in Singapore that make our business successful? And, you know, obviously places like Taiwan and Australia are full of those. Yeah. Data savvy, wanting to use high data, maybe restrictions, the customer experience not so great. The second one is, do we have a tie-up with a fantastic partner in Singapore? It's M1, who can mutually benefit from it and also see it strategic.
Sure.
That's what insures is, the long-term thing. And, you know, the third one is really about what are the gaps in the market that we see, right? So in both Taiwan and in Australia, we see, of course, a lot of telcos, probably a lot more in Australia than even
yes.
in Singapore.
Yes.
Right? But when we look at the customer satisfaction ratios, not great, right? Okay. Similar reminds us of Singapore.
So right? Is that the one of the criteria you're looking in terms of market expansion? You're looking at markets, perhaps, you're cherry-picking markets which perhaps are underserved or poorly served with poor customer service, and that's what you're making your market entry based on?
Yeah, I would say it's a bit, so customer service and perhaps broader customer experience. Like nobody brings a digital experience like we do, right? Still, and we've seen people trying to say the same word, but nobody has delivered it the same way, because we think that the customer experience, the NPS, is an outcome of that full-on digital experience that we bring. So that's what we're focusing on. And
so if you're focusing on that, so let us wrap our heads around a competitor or a similar company that's doing this globally. Who else is doing something like this, say, in the West?
So Google is an interesting one. That's the kind of thing that worries us sometimes when we think about it. What if Google decided they want to be in the markets that we're in? So Google has a service called Google Fee, and it's actually in the US right now. Probably a pretty interesting close competitor in terms of what it can do and what kind of digital experience it can bring. It works on eSIM, so actually literally you don't even need a SIM card for this. And it's simple pricing, change anything on the go, and it's super connected to everything else you do with Google. So we think, and it has roaming as well, which is interesting.
Okay, very quick one. 5 countries in the next 18 months, that's the plan to expand. We talked about Taiwan, Australia. Am I missing other countries? And how likely are you able to achieve this? 18 months, 5 countries is not easy.
Yes. If you were a traditional telco, absolutely impossible. That's probably more than what, I mean, that's probably even less for one country. But if you're something that has actually spent like the last 6 years building this platform out, right, which is the technology that powers our experience, I think it's all in the cloud. It's virtual, so it's easy to transport onto the other things. We're not launching towers. We're not launching massive systems. All you have to do is go find a partner and sort of integrate this within a matter of weeks, if not months.
That's the world these days, right? Digital is just a lot easier.
It's not only the same. The thing we realize is that it not only is faster and cheaper to do it, it's actually better experience.
You know, Ramiz, let me ask you, last year we asked you about the average data usage of Singaporeans, and this is what you had to say.
And we've also seen that, interestingly, when we came in, the average data use in Singapore was about 3 to 4 gigabytes.
Wow.
Right? You know what it is now for us? 10 gigabytes a month on average.
Now, how is it now today?
It's reaching 12 gigabytes.
Oh my God.
And I can't seem to see a limit to it, right? And we've just launched this.
We crave data, yeah?
Yeah, and it's not just all kinds of data, right? Sometimes I don't need the video quality data, I've noticed that. And that's why, you know, the thing we just launched is this $20 unlimited add-on is because people are actually comfortable. When I need that video quality data, I'll click that $3 per day unlimited. But generally, I just want to have like that access because I can't live without that access. And that's what I need most of the time. And we've seen this happening in other markets. If you've done the surveys and if you've, you know, in the markets we're going into, people want more data. The more you give, the more they'll take. And I think that's part of the satisfaction as well, that they feel, and it's not like I give you and I charge you a high price. No, give them at the base fee and then allow them to experience it as they want it, when they want it.
Ramiz Ansar, founder and CEO of Circles Life. Ramiz, thanks so much for being a pro this morning.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.